This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Katrina Vandenhove, the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine, to comment on Ukraine crisis. The headlines from The Wall Street Journal, Katrina, are alarming and global. Switzerland joins European sanctions on Russian assets. J.P. Morgan expected to pull Russian bonds from Europe, from indexes. More trading restrictions imposed by Bank of Russia. War in Ukraine could cause sizable contraction for Russian economy. Dismantling begins of financial infrastructure used to trade Russian stocks and bonds. New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ halt trading in Russian stocks. J.P. Morgan to delay adding Ukraine bonds to emerging market index. And then finally, Volvo Car and Volvo Truck Group halt sales production in Russia. That's a piece of the financial weaponry at this point displayed to the Kremlin in the event that it continues. However, the fighting in Ukraine is fog of war. So your measure, you've traveled to Russia many, many times over these decades. You and your husband and colleague and the much mourned and missed Steve Cohen. What do you make now of the Russian people reading this information and their understanding of Ukraine? Good evening to you.
Thank you, John. So you rightly begin with a part of this crisis, terrible human crisis, also military crisis. The sanctions issue, you know, the United States has imposed the punitive crippling sanctions it talked about. Now, of course, Germany and other countries have made changes to participate in that. I continue to think, though we've seen some dramatic moves in Russia today, the stock market and things closing, that the sanctions may well hurt ordinary people. And so that in my mind is a problem with the sanctions. I thought you were going to say alarmist headlines because there's word out that, you know, Vladimir Putin has talked about actually using nuclear weapons. There was a strange reference your listeners may know. He spoke of moving the Russian army to a special mode of combat duty. Not clear what that means, but we do know there are nuclear armed submarines, there are tactical nukes. There's an escalatory quality that might arise, which is horrifying. In the meantime, the sanctions are real. State banks, sovereign fund, oligarchs. Russia has, as you know, prepared for the last 6-7 years to deal with sanctions because sanctions are not a new part of Russia's life. So they may be in a better place. And I understand China has announced it's going to buy masses of wheat. And to extend sanctions to a new level, to an even deeper level will have, you know, backlash effect in this country, as you well know, the gas prices and other things. So I think it's sanctions are the alternative to war. Those sanctions are also war. So that's, but there are a lot of questions today, John. So we have a lot to talk about.
Yes, the lines, we've seen pictures from Moscow and testimony from Moscow that there are people very anxious about about their money, about being able to pay for goods. We know worldwide we're going to watch serious inflation over these next days. So your measure, and it's fog of war, so I don't ask us to solve the combat. I'm looking at this dispute. It would appear, Katrina, over these last days, that transnational organizations such as the European Union and NATO and other bodies have moved Vladimir Putin personally into an unacceptable category where it's very difficult to imagine the G20 participating with Vladimir Putin again. Do you read it the same way, or do you think that there's a bridge back from him being cast aside?
This is in the heat of war, John. We're 4 or 5 days out. I think, you know, Zelensky has just sought application entrance to the EU. The international institutions are isolating Russia in this time. The G7 sanctions, I think, may have played an even bigger role than some of those you mentioned. There were talks which have ended, according to the papers, and the two sides have gone back to their respective capitals. This was on the border of Belarus between Ukraine and Russia. But at the moment, Vladimir Putin is, you know, a rogue element.
Yeah.
And the problem is, it's not just Putin. One has to ask, how is it that the hawks, and there is a blob in Russia, prevailed? And that's a series of questions and answers. But I'm also paying attention to the protests. We have Finlay Muratova is doing a resistance chronicle daily at thenation.com. And it's, you know, this is not Crimea in 2015, where Putin got a boost of popularity at home, outrage in the international community. But this is not Crimea. There's real opposition in Russia. 100 elected officials have signed letters. Newspapers have protested. Elites have protested. And, John, we were talking earlier about the numbers, not the refugees, which are horrific, 500,000, according to the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. But when body bags begin coming back to Russia, if they do, it's more in sync with what happened during Afghanistan, where there was obviously less openness. There was no internet, but there was real anger on the part of mothers, of citizens. And that, I think, is very dangerous. This is not a glorious battle. This is a unpopular, international law violating action. But inside Russia, it's a lot of repression we're going to see, but also a lot of actions and protests.
You are colleagues with publishers in Russia, one in particular winning the Nobel Peace Prize, that have opportunity to convey information to the Russian people and to convey information from the Russian people to us here in the United States. Are those colleagues, to your knowledge, safe? Or are they at risk as well?
They are safe for now. Dmitry Muratov published the newspaper, is publishing it in Russian and Ukrainian, has gathered journalists and public figures to oppose the war, call for peace. The danger, John, is in the last days, the government has said you cannot use war on the internet or in your media. Special operations is what they're calling it. Where that goes in terms of shutting down papers is still unknown. But there is more widespread resistance now than even after the election protests in 2011. So I think anyone who wants to follow the links to find more, thenation.com, Finlay Muratova, who is, disclosure, the child of the editor, Dmitry Muratov, so has very good contacts. Finlay's in New York, but is following it very carefully.
The days ahead, it would appear that there is genuine anger in Parliament against the oligarchs who have bought up huge pieces of real estate in London and other assets that
yes.
they boast about. Do you expect that to end now? Is that the are we reaching a turning point in toleration of the oligarchs?
Well, I mean, it should have come ages ago, the looting of the country by the oligarchs, but then Putin's creating of his own oligarchy. But, John, here's the problem. Those oligarchs don't exist on their own. There is a complicity and an enabling by Western banks, institutions, real estate, legal firms. Hyde Park One in London is probably half owned by Russian oligarchs and Saudis. So Roman Abramovich, this sort of major oligarch in London, I don't think was sanctioned in the first round. Three others were. So I think that's an important part, the transnational corruption. It is the case, and said with sadness as we speak, because of the brutality of action in Ukraine, that Ukraine has its own oligarchs and corruption. And its economy is dependent, sadly, on some of those oligarchs. So may there be a way forward that, you know, that there's a new economy. But I think, you know, when we look at the situation, the upending, this is such, I mean, it's hard to believe. It's sort of 10 days that shook the world.
Right.
And we're looking now at so many questions, Ukraine and energy. I mean, you know, we're going to see what will it mean for the global economy, these sanctions. This has empowered NATO, other forces of, you know, the military forces. What does it mean for China?
Fog of war.
How will China and Russia, how will China act in the international community? What does it mean for these institutions which have been our bulwark, you know, for decades, which have been exposed as not, I'm thinking, you know, the UN's flawed, but it's still, there, but the hawks for sure have prevailed, and understandably so in this militaristic moment. But I think you've heard about the numbers, refugees.
Right.
We've just exited Afghanistan, right, where the humanitarian catastrophe. You know, we have a story coming on Afghan refugees in Ukraine.
We just have a few seconds, Katrina. Go
yeah.
ahead.
So, no, I mean, I think the refugee crisis demands attention. When Americans look at what is happening and ask what they can do, you know, to de-escalate,
right,
to hold in your mind that, you know, this is an indefensible act of violation of international law, but at the same time, how do we resolve it so it doesn't escalate?
The Nation magazine is following the chronicles of the Russian resistance. Finley Muratova is the author of those chronicles. Katrina Vandenhove, the editor.
Thank you, John.
The editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchel.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.